It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm not sure about this, but I believe this is the day, yes, in which the world is celebrating, at least the United States, Memorial Day. So happy Memorial Day, I guess I could say. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. And now we pray for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know. We ask that you will please anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit. And as always, help us, Lord, to grow in grace and wisdom. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's time now for our opening song. It's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
topic today, when God winked. When God winked. We're in Acts chapter 17. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you very much for the precious word of God. We thank you for its encouragement, its correction, its instruction, its convicting power, and its guide of life. We ask that you bless us now as we read Acts 17 and study it out to pull the gems to help us in our walk today on this May 29, Memorial Day. We ask that you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now when they had passed through Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. My brothers and sisters, they were preaching Christ. You have to remember that the Jews, even though the Jewish nation was at this time no longer considered the people of God, for that was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. That was the 70-week prophecy. They were given 70 weeks, that's 490 years, starting with the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem. They were given 70 weeks of probation. That means that they were no longer to be accepted as the people of God, as the organization that God would use. That doesn't mean that there weren't people in that organization who could still be saved. There are organizations that have gone bad, Protestant organizations that have gone bad, but yet, and of course, the Christian church, which is now the Roman Catholic Church, which was the organized church that went bad, okay? There are people within these communions that God will bring out. Come out of her, my people, the Bible says, that you be not partakers of her sins. See, when we stay where there is error, we're promoting it. God sees us as partaking of it. So you read Revelation chapter 18, you'll see a call to come out so that you're not a partaker of their sins. And that you receive not of their plagues, you see, because God is going to punish those who disobey his law. It's not hard to be saved, my brothers and sisters. We have to humble our proud hearts, and we have to love one another. That takes humility, because everybody's not easily loved. And then as we humble our proud hearts, we will be obedient to his commandments as we go to him and ask for his help. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So the love of the world, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, we would get victory over all our desires that are not holy. And that's when we accept Jesus fully and we spend time with him and we commune with him. We need to learn what it means, and I think it should be a continued study to know what does it mean to abide. The Bible says, and since Jesus talking, he said, abide in me and I in thee. He talks about if we abide in him and he in us, we'll bring forth much fruit. All right, we take that and took it another step further. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So you abide in Christ, those are the attributes you will have. The first one, love. There was a secular song that said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. If there was ever a portion of a secular song that was true, that section is true. They just don't understand the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So they might not understand where the source of love is, my brothers and sisters. But when we come close to God, he helps us to love him. He puts love in our hearts for him, and he puts love in our hearts for each other. There's different types of love. There is a love that we must have for all men, for all fornicators, whether they're straight or gay. A lot of people don't love people who fornicate, but you should love them. Not love the sin, but you must love the sinner. love for all the unruly and so on and so forth. Love of the brethren, brothers and sisters, instead of trying to seek the highest place in the church and be recognized as a leader in the church, we need to humble ourselves and have love. We do that, God can use us. If we don't, he can't, my brothers and sisters. So we have to have love. We have to keep God's commandments, and that's what the Bible teaches. All right, let's read on. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Jews a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. You see, my brothers and sisters, there is a movement that has come into Christianity. It was in Judaism, now in Christianity, that says whatever the leaders say, whatever the pastors say, whatever the conference says, whatever the Sanhedrin says, whatever the board of cardinals say, that we just follow that. Whatever the eight men in Bethel, that's the Jehovah's Witnesses say, we're to follow them. Whatever the bishops say in the Amish community, we are to follow them. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that whatever they're saying, receive it. If they're going to share the word, be ready to receive the word. And so you're not being disrespectful because you're listening to what they have to say. But then it says, with all readiness of mind, I want to hear what you have to say if it's from the word. And then search the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. See, all the devil has to do is get the leadership on the wrong track. And if you're going to follow the leader no matter what, then you're going to be on the wrong track. So God had a system where you don't disrespect the leadership, but you take it and understand that they have a leader that is the supreme leader, which is God. And we take what they say, take what I say, and take it to the Scriptures. You have people that if they listen to a pastor, he might be a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Present Truth, and he speaks, and they don't go home and say, well, is this true? What is he saying? Is this message of God? Should we be teaching about this? You see, we don't check things out, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you that we've got to be like the noble Bereans. You know, sometimes people, even what they share is not uplifting and needful. You know, why? Because sometimes it's just gossip. You hear that somebody did something, and it might be reported publicly that they did it, and you don't make any effort to go to the accused person to say, listen, I have heard it is being reported that you swindled a bunch of people out of money. Okay, it's being reported, all right? I want to come to the source. I did that, friend, and I will tell you a recent situation where that was reported. It's not as it was presented and as it was shared to probably thousands of people. That means thousands of people took up a reproach, because if you hear a report and you don't go, if it causes you to change your position, I mean, you can't just go. I don't think I need to go to and contact President Biden to say, listen, it's reported that you believe in support LGBT. I mean, it's on the news. He says it himself, okay? I don't need to go to President Trump. But it hasn't changed my posture toward them. I still love them because God puts love in our hearts. So it's not that everything you hear, you have to go. But when you change your posture toward somebody, meaning that you accept a report that these people are swindlers, that these people did this thing, okay? You accept that report, and you reported it outside, and then you shared that report, okay? I'm going to tell you what I did. I know somebody close to the person, and I didn't get a chance to get to that person, but I talked to somebody very close to the person who had even invested money, and he told me what really happened. A lot of it was banks and things of this nature that would not cooperate because, you see, brothers and sisters, there is a movement now to keep firms out of the common people's hands. There's a movement to take over the economy. They don't want to release a lot of money. And so things happened and spiraled so that people could not get funds because of things that banks did, and it was labeled as a Ponzi scheme, and it wasn't really a Ponzi scheme. Okay? So the point being made is that do we do what the Bible says, friends, or do we not do what the Bible says? You know, let me tell you something. Let me share with you. You see, it's practical godliness that's going to get us into the kingdom. And I want to share something with you. The Bible tells us who's going to get into the kingdom. I want you all to really, I think you should memorize Psalm 15. It's just five verses. It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth in his own heart and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. You hear that? Taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Brothers and sisters, you probably understood most of that, but did you know that most people don't understand what taking up a reproach is? Taking up a reproach is something bad that's said. So when you accept it without giving the person charged an opportunity to clear himself in the matter or herself in the matter, you have taken up a reproach. The Bible says you're not going to go to heaven. Why? Because it says, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? So that's why I preach these things, because there's a lot of things going on, even in present truth circles, where Jesus is not glorified, my friends. And the name of the Lord is tarnished, and we give a wrong example. And the sad part about it is, a lot of people don't understand that while we should listen to preachers who preach, we should search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And if they are not, we should not accept it, brothers and sisters. And you might want to send them a note to say, have you contacted this man that you reported about to see if he really did that? I will tell you, in the church, that's something we don't do. We hastily credit, and we're told not to, evil reports, brothers and sisters. And sometimes these evil reports are made up as a result of jealousy and envy and these types of things. And our Heavenly Father, let me tell you what, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who have to go through those things, being the accused, God's going to bless them. God's going to bless us. So when you're talked about, brothers and sisters, and people lie, that's all right. Just know a great blessing is in store because God promised that it would. He said that we would receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. That's Mark 10:30. So Acts 17:11, powerful verse. We need to listen to the word, then go home and search the scriptures, whether those things are so. And brothers and sisters, if truth is not taught and they will not change, you should not go there. It is not where God wants you to be. He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When you continue to sit under error just because that's the church you go to, or when you continue to sit under error just because you've been there for so long, or whatever, that's where your children go. We have all kind of reasons why we go to a church, and I'm here to tell you that there's going to be nothing but truth in heaven. There's not a combination of truth and error in heaven, okay? And so you're preparing for heaven now, and when you get to judgment day, so to speak, meaning before Jesus comes, a decision is made in heaven. It says the righteous will stay righteous, the holy will stay holy. It's in Revelation 22, verses 11 and 12. The unjust will stay unjust, and the wicked will stay wicked, okay? And unholy will stay unholy. And then Jesus says, I come quickly and my reward is with me. That means you are sealed in your situation. So if you were the type that said, okay, I like to hear truth over here, but I don't mind hearing some truth mixed with error over here, then you're not going to heaven. Why? Because if you don't give that up, that's why God calls every man always to repent. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, because you're preparing for heaven. You wouldn't enjoy truth and error if you're going to heaven, because heaven would be torture for you because there's only truth there. You follow what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? And you're supporting truth with yourself, your body, your presence when you continue to go. Now, if you don't, if you want to see if you can change the church, pass some scriptures to them. Say, why do we keep Sunday? Or can you give me a Bible scripture about Sunday worship? Since the Bible commands us. It's in the commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day. You see, they will say things like, "Well, that's part of the old covenant." Well, why isn't "Thou shalt not kill" and "Thou shalt not commit adultery" and "Thou shalt not steal" in the old covenant? Because it's the same set of commandments. And James 2:10 says, "If we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we are guilty of all." Then it tells us which law it's talking about, because it gives examples of the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are still binding. Oh, they'll say things like, "We don't find a single scripture in the New Testament commanding us to keep the commandments, the Sabbath, but we just have commands not to kill and steal." Brothers and sisters, you don't have a commandment that says that the law was done away with, that law was even done away with. It's not done away with. Only the ceremonial law was done away with. The portions of it that were ceremonial, or the ordinances that pointed forward to Jesus, those were the things done away with in Colossians. It says the things that were done away with are a shadow of good things to come. And that means that the things that pointed forward to Jesus, we keep the Sabbath because God created the earth and we need him to create us. So the Sabbath is a sign of your own salvation. Why would you not keep and honor and worship on the day God set aside to spend time with us as a special date? He didn't set Sunday for that. He did not. He did not set Sunday as a special day. Now, we worship God every day. We're worshiping him every day on the Worship and Wellness broadcast. But Sabbath is different. We set aside the secular, a lot of the things that we do. We don't, at our home, we don't have the guy who cuts the grass. And you say, "Why don't you cut the grass?" Well, guess what? It's a little bit larger yard, and I don't have a riding horse, so stop judging me. Amen. So anyway, we don't let the man who cuts the grass, the neighbor who cuts the grass, cut it on the Sabbath. He might show up. We just go to him kindly and say, "You know, we don't want you to cut it on Saturday. Can you just come back another day?" "Oh, yeah, I forgot. And see, he'll remember that. Why do these people not do this on Saturday? And he knows it's a special day. Right now he might think, "Oh, they're kind of like Jewish people." But one day when the law of Sunday comes in, it's going to cause all men to see what's in the Bible and what's man's words. And we will be forced by the law to either follow the Bible or follow the dictates of the Pope in keeping Sunday. The Bible teaches that the United States is going to lead out. The Protestants are going to lead out. And we know from inspiration, those who are even Sabbath keepers that are not converted are going to go over, and that the organization that will not take a stand for truth is going to be swept away. That's what we're told, brothers and sisters. That's why it's so important that we follow truth. So Acts 17:11 is so powerful, because we need to study for ourselves the character of God, and we tend to have preachers that are popular to us that we like and we listen to on a regular basis. Nothing wrong with that. They receive the word with all readiness of mind, but then search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so we don't have that mindset prevalently among us, brothers and sisters, but that is the mindset that God requires of us. "Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." Verse 13, But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and received the commandment of Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Brothers and sisters, I've been to Athens. My wife and I have been to Athens. It is still wholly given to idolatry. They believe all those Greek mythologies and stuff. You see statues. You see it's debauchery everywhere. It's horrible. But they still have the broken down ruins that people come as tourists to see. Stuff on Mars Hill, that's still there. The place where Paul preached, a lot of the things over in that region is where the apostles were. Supposedly they showed us the place where Lydia was baptized. I told you that yesterday. We don't know if they got that place right. But the point being made is Thessalonica and Philippi and Athens are all in the same basic region. And we went there to several of those cities, and it's horrible even today. But while Paul waited in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that met with him, and certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Can you imagine that? They don't even know who Jesus is. He's like a strange God. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. You have some people like that, just want to hear something new. And that's an interesting thing. A lot of times, brothers and sisters, instead of preaching about character development, we're always preaching something new. We want to be on the cutting edge of whatever is new. And sometimes we just need to spend time telling people about how to have a walk with God, how to give up the, pride and arrogance that we sometimes have. But we have to give it up as leaders in order to teach it. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.'" There is such an inscription. I've been to Mars Hill. I don't know, we don't have the original inscription, but the bottom line is we know of the place where Paul preached at Mars Hill. And it was just nice being there. I can only imagine with my sanctified imagination Paul's message to the people. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance," here is our key scripture that gives us our title, "and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Brothers and sisters, God is so merciful. He winks at our ignorance. However, he does not keep us in ignorance. That's beautiful. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Those of you who keep Sunday, this verse tells you what Sunday is signifying. The Sunday does not signify that it should be a change of worship. Sunday signifies that Jesus is going to judge the world in righteousness. That's now, friends. He's judging us now. It says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof? That means wherefore. That means wherefore. Because of this. This is how he did it. He hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The fact that Jesus is risen is our testimony that a judgment in the end of time will come. We call it the investigative judgment, where the Bible says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is examining your life. He's examining how you live. He's examining how you eat. He's examining to see whether or not you've accepted the gospel. You see, the gospel is the good news that gives us pardon, and it gives us power to live a holy life. So God is examining whether or not he can bring me into heaven. And so what if I teach half-truth? He said, I can't bring you into heaven. He's going to try to work with me to get me into full truth. Then he can bring me to heaven. He's trying to work with you, brothers and sisters, so you're in all the truth and that you're living a godly life. That's what God is doing. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. So Paul departed among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Praise the Lord, my friends. God is good. Let's keep studying. Let's keep praying. Let's keep understanding that Acts 17:11. Let's study for ourselves and accept what we hear from preachers, but study for yourself to see if it's right. And then understand that God winks at the ignorance of us when we didn't know, because we didn't know. But now that we know, he's telling us to repent and come to him. Father in heaven, help us, Lord, to be like Jesus, to want Jesus, to want truth only, to be prepared for heaven, to allow you to send your Holy Spirit and bathe us in the love of God so that we will have the power to be adopted into this new faith and this new walk and be able to share the truth and know the truth with and share it with others. Be with us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, friends, God is good. It's time now for our song, the Torso Song, which is our intermission time. And then we will hear from Sister Lenny about the dangers of hair dye, okay? Hair dye affecting your health. All right, it's time now for that transition song. God bless.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave. must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune, butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free.
All right, we're going to hear from Sister Lenny on the subject, hair dye affecting your health.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Hair dye affecting your health. If you are a person who dyes slash colors your gray hair, you can be putting yourself in bad health. Some of the chemicals in hair dye products are carcinogenic, and as the hair dye sits on the scalp, the chemicals are absorbed through the skin and into your bloodstream. Some of the chemicals are urinated out, but some remain in the body for months and maybe longer. I was always told that gray hair was a result of old age, and that's somewhat true. I have a friend who has had gray hair since 10th grade. So I did a little research and found that, yes, that is somewhat true, because as you get older, you do tend to lose melanin. But gray hair mostly comes from the loss of melanin. What is melanin? Melanin is a natural pigment in the human body that gives hair, skin, and eyes their color. It also protects the skin from the sun's damaging ultraviolet rays, which cause premature skin aging, skin cancer, breast and ovarian cancer as well. Hair dye causes dermatitis. It can alter this hair's protein structure and strength, reduces thickness, increases roughness of the hair follicle, and can also affect the kidneys and the liver. The more melanin produced, the darker the skin, darker the hair. Boosting vitamin A is number one to restoring melanin in the skin and hair. Also, eating plant-based foods that contain the nutrient. Antioxidant-rich foods is good for melanin, such as leafy greens, nuts, grains, beans, and berries. Vitamin A foods. Vitamin A foods, leafy green veggies, broccoli, carrots, tomatoes, orange and yellow veggies, orange and yellow fruits, citrus. Plums are also very good in putting back in melanin due to the vitamin E. It's possible to consume too much vitamin E, though, so it's important to check your labels before adding extra vitamin A supplements to your diet. Now, if you're a person who is really having problems embracing your gray hair, use food if that's what you want to do. Use food. You know, people walking around with blue and green and yellow and orange hair, when I see them, I kind of fringe because I know what it's doing to their bodies. You want to use food if that's what you want to do, okay? Not chemicals. This morning, this information is coming from the Cancer Society, some research that I did, and it has been very beneficial to me, even though I don't dye my hair, but I do know other people that dye their hair, and I share different information with them. Thank you so much for listening, and may Jesus guide you always to better decisions about your health. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Praise God for that wonderful information. Friends, we have about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, press star 6. On Facebook, we have South Carolina. We have Georgia. We have Georgia saying to us, good morning. We have other comments from Georgia. We have North Carolina. We have North Carolina wishing us a happy Labor Day. I think they mean Memorial Day. And we have a dear sister from Marie. I'm not sure where she's from. We've got Louisiana represented, and a good morning from there. And we also have Florida watching as well. Praise God. All right, my friends. And we have Sister Kevin on the line. We'll go ahead and take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to rededicate my heart to the Lord. He has seen me through 72 years. Today is the 72nd year celebration, and I just want to thank him for his awesomeness, his love, his gentle correction. I just want to let him know how much I appreciate all that he has done for me in my journey toward him each day, for giving me wonderful, loving parents, family, Christian family, friends. It's been an awesome journey, and I want to recommit my heart to him, my energies, my focus, my life. I want it to be a sanctuary, my life to be a sanctuary for his indwelling. So please continue to pray for me that I will keep my eyes on him and serve him till I die, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise God for that, sister. We praise God that that prophecy will be fulfilled in you, and we wish you a happy birthday and do expect a call from us a little later today. Praise the Lord. Amen, brothers and sisters. When we have reached past the 70, it's a blessing. Praise God. Is there anyone else who would like to share anything? Please feel free. I don't think I gave the call log roll call. So we have Georgia. Sorry. Well, we probably do have Georgia, but that was Ohio on the line. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware and Delaware and Delaware again. We have Iowa and we have Georgia on the line. All right. Anyone else want to share anything? Yes, we do have Sister Desiree on the call. We'll take her call at this time. Good morning, Sister Desiree. You might be.
Good morning. I'm sorry. Good morning. I had y'all on mute. Good morning. I just want to say I thank God, my Heavenly Savior. I want to thank him for health, life, and strength, and thank him for the opportunity for many different times in my life where he can have me see myself, and I had the opportunity to say, oh, my gosh, I didn't see that. But if I did, he bring many things to my attention for me to ask for forgiveness for. And I just thank God for this new journey. I don't know where I'm going, where I'm headed, but I ask that it gives me strength. The desire is there. Plus, maybe we from time to time. But I thank God for this journey. I'm thanking him in advance because I don't know where I'm going, where I'm headed, but I thank him as I journey on and as he gives me the strength to journey on. And
amen.
I really thank him for the fellowship here and for the broadcast. I want to say happy birthday to the 72 and young. Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And thank you for that lively testimony. It's encouraging. All right, we're going to hear from Sister Leilani now. Sister Leilani, I had you already on my list to give you a call today, so be looking out for that as well. And we'll take your call now. Good morning.
Well, I have really been struggling. What I thought was going to be pretty easy with my being here with my daughter and eating a good diet together has not been as easy as I thought because there's a lot of we both do a lot of emotional eating, I think, and I'm just struggling with it. So please pray for me.
We will. We'll pray for you today and continue to pray and do look for a call from me today. All right, sister.
Okay.
The Lord is good. He gives us what we need, but we thank you for being honest and reaching out and letting us know that you need prayer. And brothers and sisters, when this happens, let's all pray. Not just us pray. All of us pray for our dear ones because we are a family. You know, we need to understand what family is. When we go to heaven, we're family. That's why at the end of every broadcast it says, but he shall receive 100-fold houses and brethren. Didn't say your name's going to be on the deed, but you'll have places to go wherever you go because you'll be with family. Houses and brethren, plural, and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. So we are to understand what family really is and help each other in this journey into the kingdom. And by doing so, we'll be helping our own selves. All right, we're going to go ahead and take Sister Desiree's call again. She's on. And we got you back, sis.
Yes. I want Sister Leonie to know that I will join her in prayer. And since I've been on this journey of not just weight loss, but, well, weight loss and also eating those things and doing better, and I, too, have suffered with emotional eating and stress eating and asking for God's strength and deliverance. So I, too, will be praying for you that he gives you the strength and the Holy Spirit and the power to overcome as you journey to.
Amen. Thank you, sis. That's what family does. Praise God. Praise God. All right, friends, is there anyone else before we wrap it up? We've got about 8 minutes to the top of the hour. If there's anyone else that would like to share anything, we would love to hear from you today. You know, the month of May is almost over, and we'll be in June. Friends, we are, as in our reassignment, able to do more wellness retreats. We have a wellness retreat that starts on the 4th of June, so a week, not even a week away, this coming Sunday. And you can go to our website, torso.org, look up retreats, and you'll go and see the schedule. But there's one in July and one in August and one in September and just on and on. So we do help people. Some people do need to get away. Everybody doesn't need to, but some people do. And we help you with your cleanse and get you on the right track in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's help. All right, there is no one else in the queue, so we're going to go ahead at this time and have our closing prayer. I would like to ask my wife, Andreemda, if she's able to have our closing prayer at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship and fellowship. We thank you for your word. And may we continue to study these things out for ourselves, allowing your spirit to teach us, go into a more deeper understanding of your word where we can gain knowledge and wisdom, be able to share it with others. We thank you for our dear sister, her life of 72 years, I believe she said. And we thank you, Lord, that you have extended her to continue to be a soldier in your harvest. May her work between you and her continue to blossom and to prosper, and may you continue to bless her life and be with her and her family and all the things that she's doing, Lord. We just thank you for our dear sister and ask that you will continue to use her in a mighty way. We thank you for the sister who came online, being honest about her emotional eating habits and just the things that she's been struggling with, and we ask that you will give her strength. But more importantly, that she would be encouraged, Lord, to be able to co-labor with you, with your help, Lord. Help her, Lord, to gain the strength that she needs and to be able to have the determination and the desire with a strong willpower to be able to live it out. Give her what she needs, and we pray that you would bless her and her daughter as they are both in this struggle together. And we ask that you will bless everyone who came on the line, who participated, who shared, who gave praises and testimonies and just lifting us up, Lord, inspiring us in things and ways that we need to be inspired. And we pray that you would bless every heart on this line as you continue to allow your spirit to guide us on this day. Give us what we need to be able to stay faithful to you, and may we serve you with a true heart, with a pure mind, with a pure faith. but we know you are soon to come. We ask that you would strengthen us and keep us, as you have promised you would do in John 17. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold, now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land, with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.